Douglas MacArthur, that great general of days gone by, said this of Joshua. And I want to talk to you a little bit about Joshua today. Joshua was one of the greatest generals who ever lived. The thing I like about him is he accomplished, listen to this, the impossible in spite of incredible odds and opposition. His life was one entire battle, one battle after another. How many of you feel like sometimes your life is one battle after another? How many know what I'm talking about today? Joshua and the children of Israel, I'm going to be reading out of Joshua chapter 1 here in just a moment, so stay with me. Joshua and the children of Israel are standing on the banks of the Jordan River. And on the other side of that Jordan, and I've preached about this in a couple of times in the last several months, but Joshua and the children of Israel are standing on the rivers of Jordan, and on the other side of that river lies their future. How many realize that? And on the other side of that river is the land of promise. They had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. How many ever feel like you're wandering in the wilderness? Amen. Let me tell you, if you're here this morning and you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, let me tell you something. If you and I will just cross over, hallelujah, if we'll just take some steps of faith, I'll tell you right now, you and I can enter into the promised land and that we can have all that God has to offer to you and I. Can you say a good amen today? They're standing there ready to step over into their destiny. And in Joshua 1, chapter 11, or excuse me, chapter 1, verse 11, this is what God says to Joshua. He says, in 3 days from now, you will cross over the Jordan and go and take possession of the land the Lord shall give unto you for your own. You know what God is saying to Joshua? He's saying, listen, there's a tremendous future beyond this river for you. You've wandered for 40 years, but now there's a great adventure ahead of you. Great things in your life I'm preparing for you. And everything that I'm going to do, I'm going to do everything I said I was going to do and everything I promised and more. Can you say amen? But he goes on and adds this, but it's going to be a fight and it's going to be a battle. How many realize that this life that we live, this Christian life we live, is a series of battles and skirmishes with the enemy. How many realize that? You know, it would be wonderful if we could just cross over Jordan and just pick the fruit and just sit by the river and just eat and just be fat and happy. Wouldn't it be great? But that's not God's plan for our lives. How many realize that? No, he says, I've got everything. I'm going to do everything I said I was going to do. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants before you and nobody will be able to stand against you, but you're going to have to possess it. And that little phrase there saying that you're going to have to possess it, you're going to have to take hold of it, means that we've got to fight for what you and I want. Amen? There's an enemy out there that wants to keep you and I away from the things that God has prepared for you and I. Amen? And we've got to fight against the evil one. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. How many realize that? Sometimes we get that confused. Sometimes we think, well, my battle is with so-and-so, or my battle is with this person. No, our battle is not with anybody, flesh and blood. It is against principalities of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. But he says, you're going to have to take possession of that land. I believe that God's got some great things prepared for us as individuals. But I believe that God has got some great things prepared for this church. Can you say amen? I am so excited. I got a call from Pastor Nate. Y'all remember Pastor Nate? I'm going to let you know. He's going to be with us December the 16th. He's going to come and preach. He's going to share. You know, we were able to bless him just in abundance a couple months ago. And he told me they've got new windows in his house. Hallelujah. Because we helped. Remember that? And they got new flooring put in. They're working on the basement, getting it all cleaned out. There's just so many things going on. He just called, just overflowing. And I began to share with him. I said, oh, Pastor Nate, you wouldn't believe what God is doing here at the church. And we just bragged on each other. Amen. And you know what? God has got some great things prepared for His children today. And but just because He has it prepared for us, how many realize that we've got to take possession of it? Amen. There's something that we have to do. We have an enemy that will do everything to keep you and I from possessing the promises that God has. According to God's words, God wants to bless us more than we could ever dream. How many realize that? You see, I believe that our best days are still yet to come. Can you say amen? A lot of people say, well, you know, we're not like we used to be. Well, I'm glad we're not like we used to be. Amen? I don't want to go back to no air condition. I don't want to go back to a horse and buggy. Not that I've ever rode a horse and buggy, but I've been told about it. Amen? No, I'm glad that we're right where we're at. Can I tell you something? What we used to have has been good, but how many realize I want what God has for me today? Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe our best days are ahead of us, but it's going to involve a fight. It's going to involve a battle if we're going to possess our future. So how do we do that? How do we possess the things that God has for us today? Well, we do exactly the same three things that God told Joshua to do when he crossed over the Jordan. He gave him some instructions. In Joshua chapter 1, we read that God is talking to Joshua, and he gives him kind of a pep talk. You know how football teams go? You know, they get them in the locker room, and they get them all hyped up, and they go crazy, and they run out. Oh, we're going to win. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what God is doing to Joshua. And what he says to Joshua is this. He says, I've given you an inheritance. And he says, but you're going to have to fight to get it, and you're going to have to fight to keep it. So I want to give you some instructions that will help you to fight and to help you to keep what you have. And then God gives Joshua three things to do to help him possess all that God has for him. And those three things are the same three things that if you and I will follow the instructions, if you and I will obey God's word, you and I will be able to obtain the promises that God has for you and I and for this church. Can you say a good amen? God said, if you'll do those things, you'll not only have an impact in your life, but you'll impact those around about you. Can I tell you something today? I just don't want to have some good things in my life. I want people around me to be impacted by what God has done in my life. Can you say amen? I want my children to be impacted. I want my grandchildren to be impacted. I want my neighbors to be impacted. Why? Because I know that God's got something good in store for us. Hallelujah. Two times in chapter 1 that God uses the word success. Say that word with me, would you? Success. Oh, come on, say it like you mean it. Success. God wants you and I to be successful in our walk with God. How many believe that? God said, if you'll do these three things, He said, I will guarantee you success. Now, I've had a few guarantees that weren't very good. You know? There's always that real fine print on the bottom. You know, after you've had it about 5 hours, the warranty's gone, you know. If I guarantee success, it might not be too good. But God's Word says that God will guarantee our success if we follow what He lays out for us. Hey, let me tell you, that's a guarantee that you can bank on. How many realize that? And this is what he says. This is a strategy that God wants you and I to use to successfully possess our future. The first thing that he says to Joshua is this. He says, you need to set a plan. Say that with me. Set a plan. You know, I'm the one who was tired this week. Are y'all with me today? He says, set a plan. If you and I are going to possess the future, we have to have a plan. How many realize that? We all know that God has a plan for our lives. How many realize that? But we have to have a plan to follow God's plan. How many realize that? The plan is for us to follow, but we've got to set a plan that we're going to go and that we're going to follow God's plan today. If we don't plan for the future, somebody else will plan it for you. Amen? Listen to what God said to Joshua in verse 2 and 3. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all the people, get ready. I want you to get ready today. Amen? God says that we need to get ready for possessing the land that God has chosen for us. He says, get ready to cross the Jordan, for I will give you every place where your foot has set. As I have promised Moses, so will I promise to you. Hallelujah. He said, get ready. He tells Joshua, get ready. God is saying we have to be ready to prepare for our future. How many realize that? We have to prepare to possess the promises of God to take hold of our future today. If we don't prepare, we won't have success. Verse 11 says, so Joshua ordered the people. Listen to what he said. He said, get ready. Get your supplies together. Because in 3 days, we're going to cross over this Jordan. And we're going to take what belongs to us. How many of you realize the future belongs to those who prepare for it? It belongs to those who prepare. Success in life does not just happen. It takes planning. It takes hard work. It takes time. It takes energy. If you and I are going to succeed in our Christian walk, if you and I are going to succeed in life, if you and I are going to make a positive impact upon the world in which we live in for the glory of God, we've got to have a plan today. Can I tell you something? This fall festival wouldn't just happen. We're going to do a fall festival. And then don't do anything to make it happen. Have you realized that? But we're working our fingers to the bone. Amen. To make it happen. Why? Because we have a plan. How many realize that? Things don't come about until you have a plan. You plan for what you want to do. And if you and I are going to succeed in life, we're going to have to plan for it. If we're going to make that positive impact, we've got to plan. Successful people plan for the future. Let me ask you something this morning. What is your plans for the future? Have you given any thought about what you're going to do tomorrow? Or what you're going to do next year? Or what you're going to do 5 years from now? Or what you're going to do 15 years from now? You may say, oh, I hope Jesus comes back. Well, that's great. I hope He does too. But what if He doesn't? Are you preparing to possess the future that God has for you? Have you looked with a heart of expectation of what I want God to do in my life for the next 5 years? We can just drift through life waiting for something wonderful to happen. It just won't happen. How many know that? If we want to be successful in our Christian life, we have to plan. Listen, we cannot afford to go through life without a plan for our lives. How many realize that? We can't afford to go through life without a dream. We can't afford to go through life without a vision. We need to look at where we are and say, God, where do you want me to be? And then make plans to get to where God wants you and I to get. We plan for the future. Can I tell you something? I can't tell you everything that God's put up here for this church. I got to deal it out in little bits here, you know? Because if I was to tell you everything, oh, you'd be scared. You know why? Because you'd be saying, who's going to pay for that? Let me let you in on a little secret. He's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for it. Just like He's paying for what we're doing right now. Amen? Why? Because when you and I bless people, God bless us. Hallelujah. And if you don't get anything out of this service today, get a hold of that. When you bless people, God will bless you in more ways than you can imagine. Not just in finances, but I'm talking about with health. I'm talking about with joy. I'm talking about with expectations of what God wants to do. We need to look at where we are and look where God wants to take us and then make a plan on how God's going to lead us. One way that we prepare for the future, guys. Listen to me, church. One of the ways that we prepare for the future is this. We have to let go of the past. Hear me? We've got to let go of the past. You know what God said to Moses? God said to Joshua. God said to Joshua, He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Let me say that again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now let me just tell you something. Joshua and Moses were very close. Let me realize that. They were close. Joshua had served Moses for 40 years. Was his right-hand man. But Moses is dead. How would you like to feel Moses' shoes? Can you imagine how frightening that must have been for Joshua when God says to him, listen, you're going to succeed Moses. I just can't imagine. I imagine he was a little bit nervous. But yet God said, I've got a plan for your life. Sometime we let the past keep us from possessing the future. How many realize that? It might have been the death of a loved one that stopped you in your tracks. And that is a horrible thing. How many realize that? To lose a loved one or to lose a child. But can I tell you something? God has something greater in your life. He doesn't want that to keep you from obtaining what God has. It might have been a bad divorce. A friend may have moved away. But God says you must let those things go. Because if you don't let those things go in your past, you cannot take hold of the present, and you definitely will not be able to take hold of the future. We will never possess our future as long as we hold on to the past. God said Moses is dead. And God's plan for Joshua, his life went far beyond that of Moses. God was trying to say to Joshua, you've got to let go of the past if you're going to possess the future. Now let me just tell you something. Everything in the past was not bad. How many realize that? Moses and Joshua had a great relationship with each other. They walked together as one. Joshua was there helping him along the way, leading the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage. And he was studying under Moses. Not everything is bad in the past. But Moses was dead, and the time had come for Joseph needed to move on. And what did God say to him? He said, listen, Moses is dead. Joshua had thought that Moses was going to lead them into the promised land. But how many of you know things change? Things don't go always according to what we plan or what we hope to be. God had another plan for Moses. How many realize that? God brought Moses right up to the edge of the promised land, and guess what he said? He said, listen, you're not going in. But God? He said, no, I got something better for you. I'm bringing you up here with me. Hallelujah. And things changed. And now Joshua is in charge. And Joshua's a little afraid. What am I going to do without Moses? What am I going to do without Moses? Moses was supposed to take us in to conquer. What about Moses? And God said, Moses is dead. It's you. And I want to bless you. And I want to lead you. And I want to guide you. And I'm going to give you some instructions. And if you will follow, I will guarantee you success. Hallelujah. Listen, church, if we're going to make... If we're going to move into the place that God has prepared for us, we must recognize that what we had yesterday was good, but it will not be sufficient for tomorrow. It will not be sufficient for tomorrow and what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen to old Pastor Rick. I hate saying that because I've gotten kind of old and I don't like it. Amen? But listen to old Pastor Rick. Amen? If you don't bury the past will bury you. Take it from Pastor Rick today. If you don't let go of yesterday, yesterday will spoil your tomorrows. God said, let it go. Joshua had prepared himself. He had to set a plan to follow God. Amen. Let me read what Proverbs 20 verse 18 says. You know what it says? I love this. It says, don't go charging into battle without a plan. That's good common sense. How many realize that? We need some of that in Washington. Amen. Proverbs 13 verse 16 says, a wise man thinks ahead. A wise man thinks ahead. The first key to possessing our future is set a plan. God said to Joshua, get ready, set a plan. You have to plan for success. And look at verse 7. I love this. He says, be careful to obey all the law. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may, what? Be successful wherever you go. Amen. That's verse 7, guys. Don't they do a great job? Give them a hand back there. Amen. Sometimes I get going so fast they can't keep up with me. You know what I mean? But that's what he's saying. Be careful to obey the law. Don't turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Which leads me to my second point that God told Joshua. He said this. He says, not only do you have to set a plan, but he says, listen, you got to get ready, set a plan, but you've got to stay in the Word of God. Look what he says. He says, don't turn from the right or to the left. God is saying to Joshua, don't get sidetracked. Let me tell you today, don't get sidetracked. Have you noticed how easy it is to get sidetracked? We major in the minors and minor in the majors. And it's a ploy of the enemy to get us off track. It's to get our eyes off the author and the finisher of our faith and get our eyes upon man, to get our eyes upon things. And what do? We find ourselves off track on what God has for us. It's easy to get off track on things that are not very important, things that don't really matter, things that are trivial. God says, don't get off track. How do you stay on track? You stay on track by staying in the Word of God. Amen? If I will follow the recipe, the outcome will be what? Good. It's kind of like baking a cake. Do I have any bakers in here? A few? Okay. Maybe this was a bad analogy here, but I'm going to use it anyway. You know, if I bake a cake and I decide to do my own thing, I might get something that looks like a cake, but I won't get something that tastes like a cake. Amen? Let me just say something right here. That's what's happened into a lot of our churches. Amen? If I say I don't like eggs, so I'm not going to put them in my recipe for the cake. I don't like flour, so I'm not going to put that in either. And I know salt's not good for me, but I'm going to put a lot of salt in it anyway because I like salt. Amen? I like a lot of sugar, so I'm going to double the sugar. And I do like butter. So I'm going to put a little extra butter in. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. What you will get, it might look like a cake, but it won't take like a cake. How many? You'll have a mess. Amen. That's what so many of us do with God's Word. Hear me today. You know what we say? We say, I don't like what God said in the book about that, so I just am not going to pay any attention to that. And I think God was a little extreme when He said that, and I'm not going to go along with that either. And what happens? What happens? We get something that looks like Christianity, but in reality, it's not Christianity. And we have churches today that are full of people that think they're Christians and think they're obeying God's Word, think they're following God, and they're lost. Why? Because they pick and choose what they want to put Christianity to be. Can I tell you something this morning? If you don't believe this book from Genesis to maps, amen. If you don't believe God's Word, let me tell you, when you and I begin to decide what's inspired and what's not, that makes you the judge. That exalts you as judge and jury. I'm not smart enough to know what's of God. So guess what? I just say it all belongs to God. It all belongs in His book. He knows what He's doing. And I believe every bit of it from cover to cover. And I apply it to my life. There's some passages I don't like. I'll just be honest with you. I read the scripture that says when a man smacks you on the right side, I don't like the fact that I'm supposed to turn the other cheek. I want to put an addendum in there. When he smacks you, smack him back. You know what I'm talking about. But just because I don't like it doesn't mean it's not God's Word. Amen? God's Word can cause me that when somebody smacks me because the Word of God is in my life, the grace in God will give me the power to say, you might smack me on the right side of the cheek, but I'll turn to you the left. Why? Because God is able to do something in me that I cannot do in myself today. Hallelujah. I'm about to get worked up here. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what we do? We do that and we wonder why we can't live an overcoming life for Christ. And the reason is because we haven't followed the instructions. How many realize this is an instruction manual? This is a battle manual for you and I to be successful in the things of God. And if we'll take this book and if we'll rightly divide it, if we'll apply it to our lives, if we'll walk in it, if we'll let it be a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet, if we'll hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him, you know what? We will live a successful Christian life. And not only will we be successful, but those around us will draw, we're drawing them in. Why? Because the light will shine in darkness. Hallelujah. You know, we don't even need to tell people that we're believers. You know why? Because they'll see the light in us. And they'll know who we serve. Why? Because we obey His Word. God's promised absolutely nothing. God has promised if we'll follow Him that we will be successful. Can I tell you something? The promise of success has nothing to do with your and my ability. Did you realize that? It's not my ability that makes me successful. We see men and women and we go, oh, they're so successful. They are so smart. But God says it doesn't matter how smart you are. Because it's not about how smart you are or about how talented you may be. Success in God's eyes is this. Success has to do with His ability working in me, not my ability trying to achieve something. God promised success in our lives that has everything to do with our commitment to the book, amen, and to our Heavenly Father, amen. When we commit ourselves to God's Word, His Word will develop within us the ability to succeed. Can you say amen? It's amazing to me how God has taken uneducated men that only they only had enough sense to believe what God's Word said and to follow God and to trust God. And God raised them up to be successful men and women for the glory of God that didn't have enough sense to come in out of rain, but they had enough sense to read the book and apply it to their lives. And God granted them the ability to do great things for the glory of God. God's promise of success has everything to do with His Word. Oh, listen, there is no success in our Christian lives without following the instruction manual that God's given us. How do we do that? What does God tell us to do? He says this. He goes on, He says, don't let the Word depart from your mouth. That's what He told Joshua. Don't let the Word of God depart from your mouth. Brother, what He's saying is, speak the Word. Talk about the Word. Amen. Discuss the Word with others. This is what God is saying. Then He said, meditate on it day and night. Think about it. God's Word, let it be always on our mind. Hide its Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. And then He says, be careful to do everything that is written in it. That's why we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Why? Because His Word said what will be a light unto my path. We won't stumble in darkness. Be a light into our path and a lamp unto our feet. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? If we'll do what God instructs us to do, He says, we will prosper and be successful. Amen. Praise God. Is that the presidential warning that's going off? That went off the other day and it scared us to death. We're like, what in the world is that? I think President Trump did that because every time he tweets, he's going to send out a warning off for the tweet. I'm just kidding. I'm getting political here. Okay. 2 Timothy. Let me read you what 2 Timothy says in the Living Bible. And I've got to wrap this thing up. He says, I'm reading this out of the Living Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. God's Word straightened me out. It shows me the path I walk on, how to walk on it. It shows me when I get off the path. It shows me how to get on the path. It shows me how to stay on the path. And it's good for doctrine. It's good for reproof. It's good for correction. It's good for instruction in righteousness that the man of God may be, listen to this, fully furnished unto every good work. He's saying if you'll take my Bible, you'll take my word, and if you'll apply it to your heart, he said it'll correct you, it'll guide you, it'll put you on the path. When you get off, you'll recognize you're off, and it'll tell you how to get back on. Amen. Follow the word of God. I love what Spurgeon said, that great prince of preachers of years gone by. This is what he said. He says, the Bible that is coming apart is usually owned by somebody who's not. I'll let that sink in a little while. You're slow, but you're worth waiting on. How many realize that? Amen. Praise the Lord. I imagine that Joshua was probably a pretty busy man. You know what I'm saying? He was leading a nation, but he made time to hide God's word into his heart. He had time to pray. Busyness is no excuse not to consume the word of God. Let me just say this. If you're too busy to read God's word, if you're too busy to pray, let me tell you, you're way too busy. You're way too busy. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to possess our future. He wants us to set a plan. He wants God's word to be hidden in our heart. And if we're going to make our life count and be successful in life, we must do those things. And one other thing, and I close with this. We must step out in faith. How many realize that? Everything we do through faith. Amen. The Bible says if it's not faith, it's sin. Amen. Faith is an action. A lot of people think that faith is just something you believe. Okay? But faith is more than some kind of mental exercise. How many realize that? Faith is more than just knowing something. Faith is about what? Doing something. Amen? I can have faith that an airplane can fly. I believe an airplane can fly. But until I crawl on board, my faith means nothing. Amen? It means nothing. James said it like this. Faith without works is what? Dead. People say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe in Jesus. Let me let you in a little secret, okay? The devil believes in Jesus too. And the Bible says that he trembles. But just because the devil believes in Jesus doesn't mean he's a Christian. Amen? No, he doesn't. He doesn't mean he's a Christian. Faith is about stepping out and trusting God to do what He said He would do. Three times in this passage of Scripture, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. In verses 6, 7, and 9, hallelujah. Oh, listen, there's going to be a lot of times in our lives that we're going to be distracted or try to be distracted, and the devil's going to try to discourage you. But let me tell you something. If you and I are strong and if we're courageous, if you and I will step out in faith, hallelujah, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River, ready to cross over into a new land. Knowing the moment they cross over, they must fight. And God had promised them to give them the victory. You know what kept Moses, or what gave Moses the confidence to cross over? Look at verse 9. I love this. God says, Remember, I have commanded you to be determined and confident. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Listen to this. For I, the Lord, am with you wherever you go. Can I tell you something right now? You can charge into the gates of hell. Amen? If you know that God is with you. How many realize that? You can charge into the gates of hell. Those words will keep you and me. Hallelujah. Oh, they'll keep us when we're doing what we know to do. He says, don't be afraid and don't be discouraged. How many realize those two words will keep you from being successful in the things of God? Let me tell you what fear does. Fear keeps you from starting, and discouragement keeps you from continuing. Amen? The fear of getting started. God tells you to do something, and you're afraid. It keeps you in your track. And then if you do start, the devil comes with discouragement to try to stop us in our tracks. Fear keeps us in the wilderness when we could be living in the promised land. Hear me, church. Do you know what courage is? I love this. Courage is moving ahead in spite of being afraid. People say, aren't you afraid, Pastor Rick, when you get to preach? All the time. I'm afraid when I knock on somebody's door that I don't know to share the gospel with them. Invite them to church. My knees are knocking together. But you know what? I do it in spite of my fear. Why? Because I believe that God is with me. He said He'd go with me wherever I went. And He would help me. He would empower me to do what I can't do in myself. Joshua was 80 years old when God called him to cross the Jordan. Hallelujah. If we're going to make our life count, we've got to step out in faith just like Joshua did. Joshua 3:5. Then Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow God will do amazing things among you. Oh, listen, church. God is waiting to do something amazing in us as a body, as a believer. When Joshua and the children of Israel crossed over Jordan, you know what? Oh, listen, there was their promised land ready for the taking. And we know what they did. They went into Jericho, and what did they do? Oh, they won, amen. And over they won because God was with them. God was with them. You know what God, I think, is saying to you and I this morning? Get ready for something big. Get ready for something big. Why? Because the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Listen, when they crossed over into the promised land, there were still battles to fight. How many realize we still got some battles to fight? There are still some giants they had to overcome. Amen? And let me tell you something, we're going to have some giants to overcome. But the promise is that God will be with us every step of the way. A little something here and I start to close. Did you know that Joshua's name means deliverer and savior? Did you know that? Actually, Joshua is the name Jesus. Amen. Is the name Jesus in the Greek. It's Joshua in the Hebrew. Did you know that Jesus was named after Joshua? Why? Because he was a great deliverer. And Jesus is our deliverer today. He's come to set us free from slavery. He's come to set us free from wandering in the wilderness. He's come to set you and I at liberty today. Listen to what verse 5 says. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Would you bow your head with me this morning? Becky, would you come and play for me? Holy Spirit, I feel you in this place in such a powerful way, oh God. I ask you, Lord, just to sweep over this house today, this place. I ask you to tug on our hearts, oh God. Father, I pray today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. You may be here today and you might not know Christ as your personal Savior. You might not have ever accepted Him into your heart. Or maybe you have and you've gotten sidetracked and you've gotten away from the things of God. But can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit today is knocking on your heart's door today and He's calling on you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ or you have known Him and you've fallen away, you've gotten sidetracked by the things of this earth and you want to know Him, you want to become into right relationship with Him because you want to possess your future, I want to ask you just right where you're at to slip up your hand right now. Right now, slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me all over this place? Can I tell you something this morning? God wants to get you out of the wilderness and into the promised land. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've been wandering, if you're here this morning and you're not, listen, God wants to do something incredible in your life today. I challenge you this morning, spend time praying and planning. Set some plans, set some goals for your life. Make a commitment to pray and to plan. Stay in God's Word. Commit yourself to read the Bible and step out in faith. Get involved somewhere, ministry some way, and share your faith with others. And God will guarantee your success today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Rick, I've gotten sidetracked. Pastor Rick, Father, I'm struggling. I need prayer. Would you just lift up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to pray for you today. Hallelujah. God wants to do something wonderful in your life today. Hallelujah.